Hello, Acceleration Nation. On today's podcast, I have a special guest. His name is Shikhar Sachdev. He had a very interesting story covered about him in Wired magazine, where he was trying to see how quickly, how efficiently, how effectively he could apply for roles at tech companies. He initially had a goal to apply to 500 jobs. He found out how tedious that was. He cut his goal in half to 250 jobs, but you'll hear his approach of how he did that. You'll hear and you'll learn about how he stood out amongst the masses, and you'll learn a little bit about how Shikhar owned his career and owned his path forward. So I think you'll really enjoy this episode. And as a quick reminder, if you're ever looking to land more interviews, if you're ever looking to land more offers and make more money, you can learn a little bit from what Shikhar did here, or you can work with us at Academic Careers. We help support you with personalized coaching where we are guaranteed to get you a better job and we will work with you until we do. Or you can work with us in a group coaching session, or you can work with us on a do-it-yourself basis and just get our digital course and get all the scripts, the templates, the worksheets, so that you can own your career, get more interviews, get more offers, and make more money. With that, I'm going to turn this over to the podcast with Shikhar and myself. And the very last three words I will leave you with are own your career. Welcome again to another exciting, informative, and inspirational Own Your Career podcast. On today's podcast, I am very fortunate to have Shikhar Sachdev on the podcast. I first learned about Shikhar by reading about his story in Wired magazine, where he was either so bored or so motivated. We'll find out a little bit about the motivation behind what led to his efforts. But he decided to apply to a shit ton of roles in the most efficient and effective means possible to eventually land himself a great job. So with that, I'm pleased to invite Shikhar here into our podcast. And Shikhar, tell the Own Your Career podcast world a little bit about you.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here. Hello, everyone. My name is Shikhar. I am an immigrant. I'm originally from Europe, Switzerland. And I've essentially been fascinated by the world of job hunting and careers for a couple of years now. Biggest reason being that as an immigrant, I found the job hunting process in the United States quite difficult, quite challenging. For those of you that don't know, when you're here on a visa, there are some extra hurdles that you need to go through when finding a job. So I find that I really had to analyze and break down the application process for myself. And I entered the workforce pretty recently, right? I'm not too old. I started working in 2019. And ever since then, I've kept up a blog where I share my learnings, www.careerfair.io. I started off as a non-technical professional. I actually have a philosophy degree from UC Berkeley along with an economics degree. And then I taught myself at a program on the side. So I shared my learnings there as well. And now I work as an engineer at a fintech company and I blog about my learnings on the side. So excited to share my story with you guys.
Awesome. And you're now a solution engineer at Adyen. And yep. I believe you found that job after your massive number of applications that were covered in Wired magazine. Was that the result of your...
I actually was working that job even before I did the whole application thing, which actually makes the application thing even crazier, right? Because I essentially did it for no main reason. I wasn't actually looking for a job. I did it because I wanted to document the whole process. I wanted to share my learnings with everyone. And I essentially wanted to record everything. So the fact that I did that whilst not actually actively job hunting, when I told my friends and coworkers that that's what I did, they were even more shocked because they were like, hey, if you weren't actually looking for a job, why'd you do it? But we can get into that if you want. So,
what was your initial goal of going down this path? What was your motivation? What was your initial goal? And then what did you wind up achieving?
I think that it is quite common within today's day and age. If you go on TikTok, if you go on LinkedIn, if you go on Reddit, everybody loves to share anecdotal stories about how tough the job hunting process is. Maybe tough isn't even the right word. I would say frustrating. You have to re-upload resumes all the time. You have to create accounts. You have to go through multiple rounds of interviews. You have to deal with the anxiety of having to be ghosted by interviewers, right? And I've always been a very analytical person. I like to put numbers behind claims. And anecdotally, whilst it might be true that job hunting may seem like a very frustrating endeavor, I thought that if I could put some numbers, some data behind that claim, I could prove that job hunting sucks, right? I cut that down in half because I was quite ready to give up on everything halfway there. I stopped at 250. And what I did was I essentially timed each application. So I had my little Google spreadsheet. I would come back home from work. I work out at 6:30 p.m., but I get home at like 5:30. So from 5:30 to 6:30, I would knock out maybe 5 to 10 applications every day. I did this for around 5 months, and I stopped at 250. And a couple of things that I paid a lot of attention to was company size. So how big the company was. The ATS that we're using, ATS means application tracking system. So some big ones are like Greenhouse, Workday, Taleo, etc. And industry, because going into the experiment, right, I had these hypotheses. As someone who's worked in tech, I know that a lot of startups actually have pretty fast application processes. As someone who's also recruited in the finance and consulting fields, I know that those fields generally tend to focus a bit more on your credentials. So anecdotally, I knew that those would take longer. So I recorded all of this and I used a statistical technique called linear regression to try and essentially interpret how these factors caused an application to be long or short. So I did that for 5 months. I wrote about my findings. My findings were featured in Wired. They're in the article, but they basically back up the claim that when you are applying to a job that, let's take the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario would be applying to a government job that uses Workday, and it's a big, big organization, right? That is the worst case scenario. So for me, USPS, which was one of the companies I applied to, took over 10 minutes. And the fastest application process was actually, I believe, a hedge fund called Renaissance Technologies. That took me about, I think, 15 to 20 seconds. And they only ask for your resume, literally nothing else. So I found these different patterns whilst I was doing this. And I thought that sharing my learnings would be interesting. And a lot of people resonated with the article. I think to date, over 45,000 people have read that article. So it definitely struck a chord. And I would be remiss not to mention that from a selfish perspective, you know, I'm a content creator and I know what tends to do well now. And so I knew that that piece of content would probably do well because people like to read about experiments that are on the crazier side of things. So that was perhaps a selfish reason for wanting to do that.
Yeah. Cool. So over these 5 months, about 150 days, you applied about 250 jobs. So about like 15 jobs per day, most days about 10 before you went to the gym and so forth. These 250 applicants across all different industries, but generally focused on your strength as a solution engineer and a suite, yeah, software engineer, things of that nature.
Precisely.
So you applied to 250 jobs. How many of the, like, and you probably have data or spreadsheet on this because it sounds like you're very meticulous with your experiment here. Of those 250, how many of those do you think led to a first round interview? And I typically call a first round interview with a recruiter.
I will caveat that out of the 250, I would say only about 20% did I actually press submit, right? Because I'm not actually looking for a job, right? I didn't want to send this off. So I only pressed submit, let's say, on like 50 of them. These were ones that I was like, okay, maybe I would be willing to leave my current job for this. Out of those, I had about 3 first round interviews that I went on. 2 of them I decided not to pursue. One I was rejected by. But out of those 250, I would say 50 I actually pressed apply on. The others, what I would do is I would simply stop my timer when I got to the submit.
Ready to press the submit button.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. So of these approximately 50 that you filled out, you got 3 or 6% acceptance rate for an interview. The other 47, how many of those do you think you actually got outright rejected or ghosted? Or you're still waiting to hear back from the 47.
It's funny because over the last 2 weeks, 4 of them have actually gotten back to me. I've ignored them. I'm no longer interested. So you could actually add those to that list too, but I've ignored them.
And when did you do this? Over what period of time?
This was over the past 5 months.
Ending in October approximately or
November? Approximately, yeah.
Okay, early, so some of these were like a month old.
Exactly. I would say the other 47, yeah, I was rejected by. 100%. Yeah.
You were rejected. So like you got a response back for almost all of them.
I got a response back from about half of them. Okay. The other half, I'm still.
You're still waiting to hear back.
Maybe I'll hear back today, tomorrow, who knows, right?
Yeah. So you were doing this kind of like as a thought experiment of how long does it actually take to apply? So you're not totally sure of what the results are because you only submitted for about 20% of them. And yeah. Looking at your career, you have a pretty impressive career. After graduating Berkeley, I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile. It looks like now you're at Adyen as a solution engineer. Before that, at Molico as an account manager, business analyst. How did you get the job at Adyen? Was it just a blind application like you did here, or was there another method that got you into Adyen? And because I want to dig into like how you got some of your other jobs. Because this time intensive, painful process that you went through for whatever reason, I still don't actually understand why you went through this trouble. If you weren't trying to get a job, but how do you get the Adyen job?
So the Adyen job I got from LinkedIn. I applied via LinkedIn. So it was essentially akin to what I did with the other 250. What I will say is that for me though, that was rare because if you go on my LinkedIn profile, you'll see I have a couple of internships listed there. And every single one of those internships that I did during college, and even Molocco, which was my first job out of college to some extent, I got via cold emailing. So I consider emailing people and emailing recruiters and reaching out to them my favorite way of getting jobs, which is a bit ironic because my current one, I did not get that way and it's a great job. But growing up, I was always really into sales and marketing. And though I'm an engineer now, I will say that reaching out to people and writing a really good email and being able to jump on calls with people is something that inherently is something I'm very passionate about. So all of those internships were via email. I have a lot of different methods that we can get into later if your audience is interested, especially for non-technical roles. So in the past, I've used a variety of methods, but yeah.
So you graduated from Berkeley in 2019, and I'm assuming that your LinkedIn is accurate.
Yeah.
Then you got to Molocco as a business analyst in August of 2019. So you probably graduated around May of 2019, yeah. As most students do. A few months later, you got this opportunity at Molocco. By reaching out to them, by sending an email or something?
Yeah, so essentially the first part of the application process was essentially just applying by resume and getting a first round interview. So that was fine. What I did in the lead up to that first interview was because a business analyst position is a pretty entry level role, right? The surface area of things you're going to do as an entry level college graduate is going to vary. I looked at what I had experience in. I looked at the job position. And I thought to myself, look, if there's 20 other people competing for this role, take into account, I also need a visa sponsorship thing. So I'm going to have to really vouch for myself. What I did was I created a content marketing plan for their blog because I noticed that's something that they were really looking to get into. I did some basic SEO keyword research. It probably took me a weekend. And when I got to that first interview, I told the hiring manager, Brian, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I prepared this spreadsheet in advance. I think that if you guys implement this, this, and this, it could lead to this, this, and this, which might be beneficial for growing the blog. And straight away, I think that set me off on a good foot because I had already offered value. I had shown what my skills were, and I was being really proactive. So by offering value upfront, I felt like it gave me an edge over other people, even though my GPA and other things might not have been working in my favor. So that was one of the strategies I used for getting that job.
Cool. So you proactively did some work and you were hoping that that would have you stand out versus some other candidates there. Did you do that with Adyen too or other companies like where you do like proactive work?
I think the proactiveness, to be honest with you, is going to be a function of how desperate you are. I think that's the truth, right? As a 22-year-old, as an international student, I was quite desperate for a job. When I was at Molocco, and I was, I think, 25 when I joined Adyen, I knew that I would have an easier time finding a job. So I wasn't as desperate and I did not feel the need to put in as much work into the initial application. Obviously, the interview process itself, I prepped and I did really well and I made sure that I was advocating for myself, right? But I would say that initial stage, right, is what a lot of people struggle with. And that's how much work you have to put in there. Is going to be a function of, I guess, the career capital you've built at that stage of your life, right? And for most 22-year-olds, it's not going to be very high at that stage, right? So,
yep. Yeah. Adyen, you applied on LinkedIn. Moloco, you applied through Handshake, which is also like an application tracking software, more for students on campus.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it. And you applied there and then you started getting in the interview process and then you wanted to stand out. So you did some extra work. Any of your other roles, like how else did you get any of those other roles? Like I see you've had a bunch of different roles, looks like in college and elsewhere.
Yeah.
You got one through applying on LinkedIn. You got one through applying on Handshake, which is another APS for college students. But then you tried to stand out. Any of the other roles, just cold applications, like through the experiment that you were basically doing?
Yeah. So when I was 19 years old, I had zero experience. All I knew was that I was interested in tech. There was a YC Combinator startup called Skylights at the time. And for a 19-year-old, they were selling something really cool. They were selling virtual reality goggles to airplanes. So imagine going into a plane and instead of having to view a movie on the little screen in front of you, you put on like a VR headset and you view the movie through that. And to me, that was like the coolest thing ever. To top it off, the internship that I was looking to get was in Paris. So I was like, I want to go to Paris. That sounds awesome. By the way, they didn't even have an internship opening. I just knew they were based in Paris. And my summer was coming up. So what I did was I cold emailed the CEO of Skylights, David Dicko, an awesome guy, by the way. This was a Y Combinator-backed startup, so they had a lot of funding at that time. What I did was I created a business development deck for one of their products, and I pitched them on how I would enter a new market. So that sounds way fancier than it was, because keep in mind, I was 19 years old. I'm a pretty smart guy, but I'm not like, I didn't have an MBA or anything, right? I did the best I could. I sent him this deck I made. He replied within 2 hours. And within a day, I had signed my offer letter for the summer. To me, I think that experience essentially cemented one thing in my head, that when you're young, especially when you're young, what you lack in experience, you can make up in other things. And I think that when you're the CEO, Skylights at that stage at 20 people, if you're the CEO of a 20-person company and you see a kid put in that much effort into an application process, I mean, it doesn't even almost matter what their resume says. Your startup is your baby and you want people like that to work there. You don't want someone who's just going to get the internship because they had no other options, right? So to me, that cemented the idea that like, just because all your friends are applying to internships other ways, do what makes you stand out. Do what makes you feel good. The added benefit of taking an approach like this is that it makes the application process way more fun. So the experiment I did, right, with 250 applications, in terms of like how boring something can get, that's probably at the extreme level, right? It's kind of soul sucking. But if you are able to identify certain jobs that you're really interested in that stand out to you and you take extra effort in that process, I promise you it will feel better. I promise you that you will feel more energized when applying.
With Skylights and Moloco, you put in a lot of effort to make yourself stand out. Are you that good at putting these presentations together and these packages together so that every time that you have done this in your career, has it yielded a successful hire for you? Or are these the only two instances that you've done this?
I will say that I get a lot of interviews from doing this. I don't know if you've heard of the company AngelList, but that's a pretty big company within the startup world. And for one of their VC associate programs, they had like 1,000 applicants, and my background on paper wasn't as good as a lot of the others. I did the same thing and it got me to the final stage of the interview process. I didn't get the job, but it got me there. I've done this a lot. And I think I am above average at emailing people. It's also how I got the Wired feature and the other features I got. But I think it's something anyone can do in the sense that like the actual piece of work you do needs to be a certain level of quality. Not crazy, but level of quality. But I would say the big part of it is being proactive and being kind of immune to rejection. Because let's say you email 50 people and you still only get one or two responses. I mean, all you really need is one or two responses, right? Like you're not going to be able to hold 50 jobs at the same time, right? So all that's stopping you is the effort and the time, right? And I don't want to like, you know, make it seem like it's easy because people have families, people have things to do. You have your personal health, your mental well-being. But all I'm saying is that like, if you're willing to go that extra bit further, I think this works or life work is that that one win can change everything. And I'm lucky I did this approach when I was young because it carries forward in whatever I do, not just job hunting. It carries forward in every other area of my life.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you were proactive. I love the fact that you're not sideswiped by rejection because it's just the nature of the beast. So you're reaching out to people, you're cold emailing people, maybe reaching out to them on LinkedIn, shooting them a note. Are you usually getting a bite from them, like some response before you put in a lot of effort? How long would you say that it took you to put the Moloco presentation together and at Skylight, so put that together? How long of effort approximately were those and other when you do these like value added presentations?
I would say it's about a weekend of work. And I will say that if you do it enough, you start to develop a spidey sense on who's going to respond or not. Mainly because I'll give you three right now. If the person you're emailing is active on social media, if you have evidence that they respond to comments on Twitter or LinkedIn, if they have their DMs open on Twitter, and if they are an early stage startup CEO, the probability of them replying is high. And you can quote me on that. If you email Tim Cook tomorrow, I don't think you're going to get a response from Tim. I'm sorry.
Even if you spend like a whole week putting together the tech of like how Apple should address AI.
Even if you come up with the new iPhone or you come up with a new piece of gadgets for your AirPods, it's not going to happen. But for most people, you're not necessarily trying to reach Tim. You're just trying to reach a hiring manager. And can a hiring manager at Apple reply to you? 100%. It's happened to me. So I would say that if you do it enough, you start to develop a good sense of the type of messages you'll get back. And I will say that if you know with good probability that someone's going to get back to you, it makes sense to put in effort. And if you're not sure, you can just shoot off like a bit of a comforter email, right? Instead of putting in work already, you can just ask for a coffee chat. So it's kind of dependent on your style.
So Shikhar, let's go back to that Apple example. So you mentioned like you did not reach out to Tim Cook. You figured that would be a dead end, but you were able to reach out to somebody else within Apple. How did you do that? What sort of response did you get? And what happened with that possible opportunity?
With that specific example, one of the things I like to do is I like to find alumni of my university. Doesn't even need to be university, can be high school, can be any common interest I see on their profile that I have, that they have. I like to reach out to them by email and not LinkedIn because a lot of people don't necessarily check their LinkedIn DMs as often. And everyone loves to hate on email, but I love email. I think email is amazing. Everyone checks their email. So if you can send someone a good cold email, it really puts you ahead of the pack. What makes a good cold email? So what did I use for the Apple example? I'll give a tip to all your younger listeners. When you're young, everyone assumes you're really stupid. And everyone assumes you're really innocent. And people have huge egos and they love to talk about themselves. So if you're a young college student or even an early professional and you reach out to someone and you're like, I want to learn more about you, your journey, this opportunity. Look, they will say yes just because it's like the vanity point of life. It works. Trust me. So they'll be like, oh, look, Shikhar reached out to me. What a cute 21-year-old. He knows nothing. I'm going to tell him a little bit about my journey and hopefully help him. Also works if you're 31, by the way. Human psychology doesn't change.
Yeah, people love to give advice.
I know, right? I mean,
you join my podcast here. I'm like, hey, would you care to share your story and teach me a little bit about your process? And you're like, sure, I'll jump on.
Exactly. Like, people want to hear about this. Like, this is fun for me, right? The subject line, the one I like to use. If I was in college, I would use current UC Berkeley grad had question about X, where X is something really specific. Or you can use quick question, and then in parentheses, you can add a bit more context. Keep the email no more than 5 sentences. Try to not introduce yourself. Kind of counterintuitive, but no one really cares who you are. Compliment the person in your first sentence. You can compliment them either by something they did on their profile that's impressive, either a comment or a blog post they made, or really anything that stood out to you. And the more genuine, the easier it is to basically pick up on. Because that energy, it just comes across differently. And then have a very specific CTA, a very specific call to action. Don't say, I would love to pick your brain sometime. Why is that a bad CTA? Picking your brain, I mean, that could mean 100 different things. And sometime, you're making it very easy for me to say no. Because I'm a busy guy. If you give me some time, it's going to be like, oh, okay, when should I schedule this? If you say, I'd love to have 15 minutes. Normally, all you need is 15 minutes. 15 minutes sometime early next week. Okay, I can check. And if it doesn't work for me, I can get back to you at other times, right? So if you do those three things I mentioned, you are ahead of like 95% of people, I would say. And with the Apple example, that's what I did. I think it was a product role. I reached out to the hiring manager. They had gone to Berkeley. They were also from Europe, like me. Nothing came out of that because I think I was too young and I didn't have enough technical experience at the time. But I still had a very good conversation with the person and we still keep in touch. So I would say that the upside is very high. So that's why I like to do it.
And I'm a firm believer of that too. A couple other things I would add is always use a person's name. People like to hear their name. Always spell their name properly. Although yeah. Sometimes people spell my name wrong. Sometimes people call me Adam. I'll still reply, though I'm Alan. And like I'm looking back at the first note that I sent to you and I followed basically your blueprint. I said, Shakar, I recently read about your job seeking efforts from Wired Magazine. So I'm giving you a compliment there. I'm impressed with your approach, like more compliments. I'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn. And if up for it, I'd love to invite you to join me on our podcast. Either way, I appreciate what you did. And I try to always end it like either way. So you give the person an out as well. And then I signed it. But you're also someone who's probably more apt to respond because you've been so appreciative in the past. I did not use your email. I use LinkedIn. How do you track down people's emails?
I'll give your audience two sites they can use. They can use rocketreach.co, where you can plug someone's LinkedIn, and with pretty good accuracy, they'll get you the email that you can test. They can use a site called hunter.io as well, where they can plug in LinkedIn profiles or company names, and it'll give you the most commonly used format for the email on that company. Again, if you do this enough, you will start to get a spidey sense. So for early stage startups, 99.9% of the time, the email of the CEO is going to be the first name of the CEO at thecompanydomain.com. Actually, at an early stage startup, that's going to be the email for all their employees. And if you send an email and it bounces back, I mean, you can just try another one. It's not rocket science, right? Like there's only about maybe 5 to 6 permutations of what would be a rational email address to use, right? So if you want to reach out to someone badly enough, normally getting their email is not going to be the blocker. So I view that as the easy part.
So I'd love to offer a counter approach to yours. So I love the fact of how you got some of your interviews by doing a lot of effort to try to get those. The approach that we generally take at Kadima, and I'll share it with you, I'd love your feedback, is first identify the companies where you want to work at. And you kind of did that. Then leverage your strengths. So if you're a solution architect, go for solution architect. If you're a customer success manager, play to that. Then build the outreach. And in a very similar way that you're doing, play to those uncommon commonalities. So if you went to Berkeley, or you grew up in France, or you worked at Adyen before, or whatever commonality there is, leverage that commonality to reach out to people. I generally say to build relationships within the company and get an advocate on the inside, rather than having to do all that work on the outside of putting together a presentation. I think it's an interesting approach you took, but I could imagine that there are some futile efforts there as well. And I think you mentioned depends on how much time you have versus how desperate you are. And then build that advocacy from within the inside to get you to stand out for the role. So you do not need to fill out those 250 applications cold in the ATS. And instead, ideally get a referral in rather than applying cold, whether it be on LinkedIn or on the first party job sites. Because I think your approach can be tweaked a little bit and save yourself some time of putting those presentations together and getting you in front of that CEO or in front of that hiring manager or that decision maker with casting a much wider net. I'd be curious to hear about your thoughts there rather than front loading a lot of the work on yourself, which might be futile. And I don't know how many times you've done that work and it ended up futile. Like a couple of times I heard the successes. And if every time it succeeded, I'd say, kill a weekend and get the job. But my hunch is it doesn't always work.
No, I think you bring up a great point. And I think to some extent, the approaches are quite similar, right? Because instead of your approach, right, you don't have to front load the work, but you're still trying to differentiate yourself from other applicants, right? And I think that is a fantastic way to do it. The way you're doing it, right, is via that internal advocate who gets you a referral, right? The way I'm doing it is my proof of concept and initiative gets me that credibility, right, almost. And I will say your approach is likely more sustainable in the long run for a career professional who already knows what their strengths and weaknesses are, and who already knows what type of role they're going for. I think that for a lot of young stage professionals, they're still trying to figure out what they want to do. And I think that their resume on paper is not as, let's say, good as someone who's older. So if you are able to compensate your lack of experience with, let's say, a presentation or creativity, I think that on its own can add a lot of flair to your application. I think that the method you ascribe to is definitely more sustainable and good for someone who's, let's say, worked a couple of jobs, they have a good network, right? They're able to leverage that network to get a referral. That's great. But I think that if you're a college student looking for an internship or you're young, you can use both methods, right? I just think that especially for early stage startups, they want doers, they want action takers. And by setting aside a weekend to do this, not only do you build a strong application, but you also get a taste of the type of work you like to do. Because when I was doing those presentations, I was like, holy crap, I like this industry. Like the VR industry is super cool to me. When I did the Moloco content marketing piece, I was like, I can totally see myself working on this. Because I had a couple of other ideas that I scrapped because I was like, there's no way in hell you could get me to maybe do like design work or whatever. So I think there's room for both approaches. And let's say 9 times out of 10, you use your approach, right? But then let's say you find an early stage startup where you know the CEO's email, you know what they're looking for because maybe he tweeted something and you know you have the skill set to do it. I think there's upside in doing the other way too, right? So I agree with you. I think it's just mixing and matching ultimately.
And I think that's an important point. So if you're following them on social media or they've dropped some breadcrumbs that they're looking for some approach of how to tap into the India market or whatever problem they're trying to solve, and you come up with the solution that they're seeking, I think that could demonstrate not only your initiative, but also that you've been listening and paying attention.
Exactly.
I have a question on the 250 applications that you've filled out. And I think you said it took from seconds to like 10 plus minutes with the U.S. Postal Service or something like that. Something that I advise my clients to do is go through the application as quickly as possible. Just submit the required fields. I think you mentioned one company just said, submit your resume and press enter. Like a lot of them ask lots of fields. List every job you've ever had. List your address, list your email, list your second phone number, third phone number, all that stuff. What I generally tell people is any required field, just type in the word see resume. And just submit your resume, submit your LinkedIn profile, your phone number, and your email. Then if people see you, if the recruiter looks at your application and it's not fully complete in the ATS, they will still reach out to you. If your resume and LinkedIn show that you're a solution architect or been in the fintech space or something like that, a solution engineer, what are your thoughts about expediting the process by not filling out a lot of the information? Because frankly, from the inside, myself looking at, like I've worked with a lot of ATSs myself. I've worked with Glassdoor. I've worked with Workday. Workday is terrible, by the way. I saw that you pointed that out in the article and it is painful. That's like the worst of them all. I work with Google's. Google created their own. I've worked with Lever. I've worked with a few. So what's your thought about just putting in see resume in any required field? Just submit your application and your LinkedIn. Get it in as quickly as possible and then move on to the next.
I think that there's merit in doing that. What I would be wary of, though, is that I think a lot of ATS, they employ certain levels of like keyword scanning and certain levels of mechanisms to detect whether...
You would think they do. You would think they do.
They don't. Okay. Well, you're the expert because you've worked there, right? So my assumption would be that they do, right? If they don't, right, I would say that getting from start to finish as fast as possible is definitely the most efficient way of doing it. What I almost had to stop myself from doing when I was doing the experiment because I wanted to keep it fair was every time I would come across a Workday app, my first instinct was like, I'm not even going to fill it out. But I was like, wait, dude, you're doing an experiment. You got to keep it fair. You got to like keep it torturous, right? So, but if I wasn't doing the experiment and the company was one that I was ambivalent about, like if I'm over the moon, right, I'll apply. But otherwise, I'll just go apply to a company that uses Greenhouse or Lever, right? Which is on average way faster because a lot of the application stuff isn't even about the information entry. It's about the user experience. Like from a tech perspective, as a user, you feel like you are just spending way longer creating an account, being redirected, right? That takes mental toll. Hey, I agree with your approach if it's not going to penalize me, right? But what I would be wary of is hey, what if in the off chance me putting C resume does hurt me? But if it doesn't, then I mean, I would definitely advocate for something like that too.
And it sounds like your approach didn't necessarily kick ass. Like you submitted 50 applications, and even including those three that might have recently come in. So you got six out of the 50 that got potentially interviews, about a 12% response rate. It's okay, yeah. But it's painful for the amount of time that you put in to get those six interviews. Took you on average like 10 minutes or whatever it is. It took you a lot of time. So I know you talk a lot about careers and career advancement. As you've gone through this thought experiment, aka torture, depending on what you want to call it, from this experience in your Wired article, what would you do differently next time you're looking for a job?
I would say that I would start from a top-down approach where, similar to what you described, where I would audit my own strengths and weaknesses really well. I would pair that up with what my goals are, right? So maybe I'm currently a solutions engineer, but maybe I'm trying to break into product, right? Maybe I know that becoming an engineering manager is something that at this stage of my life is unrealistic. I would really take an audit of what my strengths, weaknesses, and goals are. And I would try to form a job hunting strategy that caters to my strengths and allows me to use my time as efficiently as possible. I think that for the purpose of the experiment and for the purpose of, let's call it the headline, applying to 250 jobs, just spraying and praying, makes for really good entertainment and reading, right? But if I was actually looking for a job, I would maybe cut that 250 down to 50, let's say, right? Maybe even 30. And I would kind of mix it and match it with the approach I talked about earlier with you. If of those 30 companies, 10 or 12 are startups where I think I have a good chance of getting a hold of the CEO or the hiring manager, I would divide maybe 33% of those apps that way. The other 33%, regular ATS. But let's keep it efficient. Let's only apply to jobs where I think I can maximize callback. And then maybe 8 to 10 like aspirational jobs where I know I may not fit all the buckets, right? But I'm still willing to shoot my shot. So I think that it would start from top down where I know what my goals are, my strengths and weaknesses are, and then basically just picking like the right tactic for every specific job. If I can't find the hiring manager on LinkedIn, if it's a big org, ATS is fine for me. Can I find a referral, as you said? Maybe prioritize that. So I would be a bit more efficient about things. And I would also try to leverage my network a bit more because I'm at a stage of my career now where with the success of the recent article and the couple of jobs I've worked, I'm fortunate to know way more people than I did, let's say, 5 years ago. So I would try to leverage that network as well. So those are some things I would do differently.
Yep. And Berkeley is a great school, good alumni network. I'm just looking on LinkedIn now. There's 494,000 alumni there on LinkedIn. Not that they'll all reply to you, but even if you assume 5 or 10% of them, they're probably working at some good companies as well. And I really appreciate your approach that you took here. Just to give you a little insight, I did something similar before I started Kadima. So part of it, I was looking for a job. So during my 6 months of looking for a job, I applied to 300 jobs, 47 resulted in interviews, but there was a mix there. So I didn't do it all cold application. A lot of those were referred in. And then of the 47, 20 resulted in interviews and 5 resulted in offers. But I think back to your point of where you need that resilience and you need to be comfortable in getting rejected, 295 out of those 300 I got rejected, or 165 of those, I still have yet to hear back. And that was in 2021. So I don't think they're getting back to me anytime soon. I keep refreshing my email, but I don't think they're getting back to me on that. Cool, Shakar. Well, this was really interesting to hear your interesting choice of hobbies to do, just to apply for application's sake. I actually wanted also to do the interview because I was trying to figure out what's going on with the interviews and how do you do the interviews as well. But I think you've done a lot of good research of figuring this system out, the power of reaching out to people, the power of those relationships, the power of adding value, and the importance of resilience, because a lot of these ended up in dead ends.
Yeah. Thank you.
So the last two questions I have for you, Shakar, what is one last piece of sick career advice you'd like to leave the Acceleration Nation audience here with?
I have this quote I like to tell people because I forget where I heard it, but I do remember it. And it's everything is prep for the big show. And I think everyone interprets that quote a bit differently. The way I interpret it is that how you do anything is almost how you do everything. Just because you're not working your dream job right now, just because you might not be where you want to be right now, just because making PowerPoints is not how you want to be spending your time, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you can bring the similar level of focus and concentration and dedication to whatever it is that you're doing, you're just setting yourself up for success. And you never know when your big break's going to come, right? And the way I see it is that when my big break comes, right, maybe it'll be my next article, maybe it'll be when I'm way more famous, I want to be ready. I want to have built up the work ethic, the motivation, the clarity, the purpose, the intent to take that opportunity by its two horns, right? And I think that that's a mindset that is very liberating because success becomes inevitable. The type of person that today is building the habits, the work ethic, working on themselves and clarifying their goals is the type of person that succeeds. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I always like to tell people everything is prep for the big show. So do what you want to do like in the future. Just bring that same level of intent to whatever you do and you'll get where you want to be.
Awesome. That's great advice. Highly recommend that, especially as you're interviewing for jobs. Be prepared for the interview because when you do have that opportunity, yeah, after you do open that door, whether it's through an innovative email or referral or a cold application, be prepared because you only have 30 minutes or 45 minutes to make your pitch before they're going to decide whether you go on or get voted off the island. And then the last question I have for you, Shekhar, how can people find you, reach out to you, support you? What's the best way for people to find you?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm Shekhar Sachdev. The name will be in the podcast. My website is called www.careerfair.io. So you can go there. You can subscribe to my newsletter. I have over 3,000 email subscribers. I don't email too much, maybe once a month. So you can join my email list there. You can also email me at shekhar@careerfair.io. So I respond to pretty much everyone. So if you have any questions, just email me.
Awesome. I just signed up. I'm number 3001 on your list now.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Shekhar. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate reading about your story in Wired and really appreciate that you are owning your career. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Alan. I'll talk to you next time. Bye, guys.
That wraps up another remarkable episode of the Sick Career Podcast with Alan Stein. Check out past episodes and other resources on the website. That's sickpodcast.com, and it's S-Y-C-K. Alan, tell the audience about the newsletter they can sign up for.
The newsletter rocks. Check out the accelerator, XLR8R. You will get great tips about your career. You'll get honest insights. You'll get the occasional pet picture. And you will learn how to take proactive control and take charge of your career.
Very good. Very good. That's sickpodcast.com, S-Y-C-K. For your host, Alan Stein, I'm Russ Reba. And we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. You are going to love the next one.